are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
We want to head forward today, and I want to talk to you about the jailer from Acts 16. I want you to go to Acts 16. That's where we're going this morning. And I want to talk to you about a version. And if we sat down with each other and we heard the wonderful testimony of and story and the journey we took to receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, to receive the forgiveness of our sins, and to walk in a new conviction within our own lives of what is truth, what is freedom, what is godliness, and what is God's will, we would be sitting here for decades, not days, because your story matters to God. Amen. And your story was a wonderful conversion experience. And I can see it in your eyes when I look at you. And I want to take you right away to the scriptures, and I want to focus our hearts on verse 25. We'll go down to verse 34, and then we'll head into what the Lord has placed on my heart. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and found trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, and he and his whole family. Isn't that wonderful? We'll stop right there. Over the last year and a half, I've had the wonderful privilege of leading many people to the Lord. It's been quite a wonderful experience for me to witness the conversion of the Lord in people's hearts. I really had come to realize over this last year and a half how difficult it is for people to surrender to truth, because there's so many opinions, philosophies, belief systems, political systems that have really confused people's hearts. Our culture is such an independent, self-made culture, and it's so self-centered that it really bogs people down in their moment of despair, in their moment of desperateness, in the moment of needing truth, of how to discern what is truth and what is not truth. And I realize that people are longing to surrender, but because we have so many multiple choices, and we're not talking about a test here, we're talking about choices that are free to make for any person on the planet, and people come to a place of confusion. And each person that I ministered to personally was either facing a spiritual roadblock, they were either dealing with a relational issue, they either were desperate for a change within their heart, mind, soul, or spirit, or within the infrastructure of the direction and the destiny of their lives. I realized that it was also really devastating circumstances, behaviors, restrictions and addictions that prompted them to consider their need for Christ. And my desire has been to meet that individual on a personal basis with no strings attached. No personal agenda on my own. No personal agenda in the sense of I want you to get saved because you need to get saved. But my only desire was to do what Steve just talked about, and that was to make myself available and present to listen to their story in their moment of need. Not my story, the value of their story. And we see with the jailer that God was meeting him at a specific time within his life. I like what A.W. Tozer stated. Listen to this. I think this captivates what I'm talking about. Breezy, self-confident Christians tell us how wonderful it is to accept Christ and then have a good time all the rest of your life. The Lord won't demand anything of you. Yes, he will. Yes, he will, my dear friend. Yes, he will, my friend. The Lord will demand everything of you. And when you give it all up to him, he may bless it and hand it back to you. But on the other hand, he may not. A.W. Tozer. Quite insightful, I think, as to where people are at today. And we read in Acts 16 that Paul and Silas were dragged and presented as Jews who were causing a disturbance in the city of Philippi. And they were teaching, it was said that they were teaching customs with which the Roman citizens never practiced. And Paul and Silas were convinced that salvation in Christ was not a breezy activity. It was a lifestyle. And they were stripped and handed over to the magistrates to be beaten. And the city jailer, he was ordered by the magistrates to lock them up in jail. And after their severe beating, they were entrusted into his custody. And he placed them not in the regular prison, you have to understand. It says he placed them in the inner dungeon. And so it was one deeper than where the regular people were staying. And he fastened their legs in stocks. And the inner prison was damp, it was cold, and it was insect and rat infested. That's a place I'd like to hang out. No, thank you. The jailer did not consider his prisoner's comfort. His job was to make sure they did not escape. When I look at the story of the jailer, I see that the jailer encourages all who are unsaved to be saved at once, to be saved now, because today is the day of salvation. Amen? Today. We think that tomorrow is the day of salvation, but the word clearly says that we don't know what tomorrow will bring. But we live with this notion that salvation can wait. Can I tell you, salvation cannot wait? Did you hear what I said? Salvation cannot wait. People need to be saved today. People in desperate places. People who are not free. People who are bogged down by life. People who are weighed down and heavy and burdened and worried and fearful. Jesus comes to set them free today in his precious name. I want to give you 5 specific incidences that occurred in the jailer's lives to help you as you minister, not tomorrow, but today. Not tomorrow, but today. These incidences that occurred in the jailer's life help me to understand how to make myself available to those who need Christ today. Within these 24 hours. I see in verse 26 that one of the incidences were a great earthquake actually occurred. They were praying. They were worshiping in the inner cell, Silas and Paul. And God came in a supernatural, miraculous way and shook the whole foundation of the prison. He actually allowed the prison doors to be unlocked and swung. They were swung open. And all the people who were locked up were set free. And he awoke from his midnight nap with a lot of excitement happening around him. And the jailer, he is not only wakened up physically, but he is woken up spiritually. Can I tell you, we are in a time, we are in a great place as Joy Community Church this summer, heading in, we had our golf tournament. Do you know how many people did not know the Lord there? There were so many people who got a touch at our golf tournament. We're not just raising money. We're giving life. Amen? That's what we're doing. We're having our VBS this week. Do you think children don't matter to Jesus? Those souls are significant to the kingdom of God. You change a child's life and you can change his whole family, her whole family, for the kingdom of God. It's an important week this week. This is significant. This is not an after-school program or an after-summer program because we have nothing better to do. No, we're thinking changing lives for the kingdom of God. That's what we're doing this week, all week long. Amen? Summer of Kindness with our youth is the same thing. They're going to the streets. They're going to be ministered to here. Why? Because we care about our youth. And we believe it's essential that the youth have a solid foundation in the Word and Spirit of the living God. And then we have our revival. I'm going to trip on this because I haven't been here for a while. There we go. There, I feel better. I feel better already. If I go flying, it's not because the Holy Spirit knocked me out, okay? Just so you know that. But here we have Revive coming up. And it's an opportunity to rejoice in the Lord. It's an opportunity to come into the presence of the Lord. It's an opportunity to anticipate what God might do. What? To shake the foundation of our lives and set us free and get us in a trajectory to see what God is currently about to do in the midst of his people. You can sense it. Everywhere I went during my summer vacation to hear the word of the Lord, everyone speaking the same word. Revival is in our midst. Renewal is in our midst. God shaking the foundations of the local church to get us ready for what God's about to do. Well, Joy, we've been shaken, right? We've been shaken in more ways than one. We've been shaken. And so here he is, the jailer, and he's woken up spiritually to something he does not quite understand. And it was actually an outward expression of prayers that were being answered in the immediate moment. When you are praying, when you are fasting, when you are moving through a community with intentional intercession, strongholds are falling down. The enemy wants to convince you that your prayers do not exist. They don't matter. They don't move anything. They're not changing the dynamics of the spiritual atmosphere within a city. He is a liar. He's a thief. He comes to steal your prayers. He comes to steal your desire to prayer. And he comes to steal the mobilization of saints to move together in unity to pray and to worship. And we're saying to the enemy, we're taking our ground. This is God's battle, and we're standing because he has the victory for this whole community for Jesus Christ. Let's have a hallelujah, amen. Get excited for Jesus. That is not good enough for me this morning. I said, praise the Lord for his goodness. He is awesome. And he's going to do it. Well, Pastor James, you're rested, so you're a little hyper. No, 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 no. I've heard the voice of God. And he's on the move. And we're included in his great exploit. Amen. And so, listen, God's about to bring things that are going to shake the foundations of our lives. God is about to bring things that will shake the foundation, supernatural things that we weren't anticipating, we weren't expecting, that we've been doing like the way we've always done it, and we've got great results. And God said, I've got better results for the kingdom of God than what's happening today. I want you to tap in. I want you to pray. I want you to fast. I want you to be mobilized as a body. And I want you to move out of here and do something supernatural in this community for the glory of my kingdom and the glory of my son, Jesus Christ. He came to seek and save those who are lost. Get out and seek the lost, says the Lord. That's what he's calling us to do. I like what Psalm 18:7 says. When heaven meets earth, the foundations are shaken. And you can sense it. You can sense it. As I spend time with the leaders who are leading Revive this year, Patrick and his team, there is something stirring. There is a new level of faith. There's a new level of trust. There's a new level of, okay, God, we're not quite sure where you're leading us, but we're ready to go when you direct us. Give us the go. Give us the direction. And that's been so encouraging to me. There's this openness. It's not like, well, Joy does it this way every year. We're going to do it again this year. Hope God moves. No, there's this, God's going to move. There's this sense, God's going to move. We're going to get to participate. Yeah. Isn't there, Patrick? It's just been really exciting to be a sense of that. I spent some time with Brian Riley this week and Pastor Deborah. And we were talking about the prayer that's really needs to just bathe this community. And as Brian was sharing his heart, I'm like, oh, I can't do that justice. Brother, you're leading that charge. You need to tell the congregation. I know he's giving a 2-minute spiel on it, right? You need to really take the time and have an opportunity to talk about, he has a real vision, as I do, for this community to be transformed. Transformed. A turnaround in the spirit. So come on up. And did you get your screen up there? You better go back to mine after this, you understand? Okay, good.
No guarantee.
Okay.
Thank you. Yesterday I had an opportunity to attend with my wife a memorial service for a woman that led my mom to Jesus 55 years ago. And it was just a precious moment because it just went full circle. And it was wonderful to spend time with her kids, her family, and just to reflect on all the changes and all the things that happened as a result of her praying and being available to a woman who was in crisis, which was my mom. It was transforming. 40 years ago, there's a prayer group that was meeting and seeking the Lord and just asking God for what was next. And the Lord put it on a pastor to donate a building, a church building, out in Bushnell's Basin to that prayer group. And that prayer group moved there, became known as New Jerusalem Community Church. And that was the seeds for this place here today. So about a little over 15 years ago, the Lord put it on the heart of Pastor Tony to purchase the building next door. And again, through fasting and prayer, the Lord gave us that property, and that is now known as the Gerhardt Neighborhood Outreach Center. So there's a rich history of people praying and God moving and causing earthquakes and great changes in people's lives. And so, you know, this church has been dedicated to ministry. It's been 35 years that we've been here on the corner of Bay and Goodman. There's a few of us that are here today, but most of us don't go back that far. But the roots of this place are prayer and fasting, seeking God and asking God to move. And we've seen that in so many different ways. Pastor James is talking about transformation this morning. And that's the word that's out of my heart as I think about those things that I was just reflecting on. And when Sherry and I were asked to become the community outreach directors for this neighborhood, we just began to pray and ask God for a strategy. And so we pulled out a map of the city, and that's what's behind me. And this is a snapshot from Google Earth. And we drew a boundary around the church that encompasses most of the Beechwood neighborhood and a portion of Market View Heights neighborhood around the public market. So it's bounded by Clifford, Portland, Main Street, and Culver Road, and all the streets inside of that. And so we sat, and as we prayed, we drew some boundaries around some smaller portions, divided it up into 12 sections. And I just felt the Lord saying that we needed to name those after the 12 tribes of Israel. And I don't know all of what that means, except that I just felt that the Lord was saying that in doing so, that we were making a bold proclamation about the future of this neighborhood. You know, Sue got up this morning and talked about a baby with a hole in his heart and just how the Lord miraculously healed that. And all I could think about as she was talking about is this neighborhood. This neighborhood has a hole in its heart. This neighborhood is desperately in need of healing. And I look back and I reflect on 55 years and 40 years and 35 years and 15 years and even just this past year, and I think, surely there's something to this whole business of committing ourselves to prayer and fasting, aiming at something specific, and putting our names and our handprint, our stamp on something and saying, this is ours, we're going to take responsibility for this, and we're going to lay hold of this, and we're going to enter into the fight. It's not that we haven't been fighting, but I really believe that God is calling us to step it up a notch. Pastor Deborah has had it on her heart to pray and intercede. We've sent out teams. Over the last several years, we've had tents out in the neighborhood, and it began as six streets, and then the six streets and beyond, and now we're referring to it as the 12 tribes. And it's a larger area. It's bigger than what we've prayed for before. But believing that at the end of it all, when our life is said and done, that the Lord is going to say to us, what have you done with what I've given you? What have you done with the area around your church? What have you done with the area around your own neighborhood? And that's a challenge to me. We've lived in a neighborhood for about 38 years, and we don't know most of the people on our street. We know the ones that are just immediately next door, maybe a couple down the block, but you know, Pastor James challenged us a couple of months ago to consider getting to know our neighbors a little better and even suggested an app that we could use called Bless Every Home to get to know the people on our street, just put a name with an address and just start praying over those. And so Sherry and I began doing that in our neighborhood, and it's amazing that even just in the last few weeks, that God has opened up conversations with people that we had never met. Just in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Just divine appointments with people on the street. Even someone that we knew, we've known for almost as long as we've been there, that we've been having a difficult time with over the years, and just things got kind of quiet. The Lord opened up an opportunity for us to go out and spend some time with them and had a wonderful conversation, and God just broke something, and it just says to me that when we're intentional, when we begin to fast and pray, that God is going to bring about a change. The other thing that encouraged me was that many years ago, some of us went to a rally down in Pennsylvania. It was one of the Jesus rallies, and I thought there may be close to 20,000 people there. Bill recounts maybe 2 million, something like that. It was a large gathering. But just a wonderful time of worship and praise and speakers and teaching and challenging messages. And that year in 1980, I think it was 1979, there was a challenge for the folks at that gathering to fast and pray every Monday and Wednesday through breakfast and lunch for a year, just to see what God would do. And there was something that was powerful about that, and it was challenging, and it was, you know, out of our comfort zone. But the Lord did some remarkable things throughout the course of that year. Just some incredible powerful social moves in this country that were just extraordinary. And I think about that, and I look at these 12 tribes, and I think this is our opportunity to take hold of the land, to lay claim to something here. We don't have to look very far. We don't need someone to tell us, you know, as Charisse was praying this morning, that our city is in crisis. So, but just maybe by a show of hands, how many folks here live inside that area that's bounded by Culver Road, Goodman Street, Main Street, and Clifford? Okay. So I know that, that's me. Well, I'm just on the fringe. I'm close. I see it that end. But it's no secret. If you turn on the news and you hear all what's going on in the city, we are a city in crisis. The city school district is short, how many teachers? 385? 352. I got on a Zoom call this week with the Rochester Police Department, the Goodman section that covers this area, this part of the neighborhood. This section is allotted 67 officers. They have 40. The city overall is short 100 police officers. And the challenge continues to grow. There are parolees, violent offenders, that are being released out in the streets. The police are already fighting a battle that is already overwhelming, and every few days there's another half a dozen people that are released from prison that have a long record of violent crimes. So to listen to them talk, and I have to be honest, they were a positive group of individuals saying we're here to serve and do all that we can, even despite the loss of an officer just 2 weeks ago. But you know that it's grinding on them, and I'm sorry that Ryan is not here this morning, but Ryan Fantagrossi, he's a Rochester City Police officer, but you can just see the strain on them. You can hear it in the voices of the people that are speaking out on behalf of the city school district. You can hear it in the city council, just the struggle that they have to try to bring change to the city. And there's a need for the body of Christ to rise up and say, we are going to take ownership of this. We're going to pray. We're going to fast, and we're going to commit to this for a season. So we've decided for just a time, for right now, to put the tents aside. Before we go out, we're going to spend a season in fasting and prayer. It was something that I learned from a brother that was with us a number of years ago, Patrick Whalen. Patrick was a homeless guy that loved Jesus and walked the city streets for several years and just looking for homeless people to share Jesus with. And he used to take groups of folks down into the tunnel underneath the dinosaur barbecue there to look for the homeless folks in January to try to coax them out and get them into a better place. But the one thing that he said to me before we went one time, and he said this to every group that he took there, he said, look, this is not just some kind of a fun adventure, something you can brag about that you were down in the tunnels. He said, before you go, you need to go prayed up. You need to be on your knees. You need to be seeking God. You need to be prepared because this is a battle. This is a battle. Now, it was not too long before this invitation to start thinking about this and praying about this that Ukraine was invaded, and all I could think of was that our city is like a nation that's been invaded. And just like in Ukraine, where there was a call to arms, and suddenly that, you know, people that were not accustomed to carrying weaponry were being told every male under the age of 60 has now been conscripted. You're part of the army. And folks were going out to the local police stations and arming themselves. I'm not sure that we necessarily see that urgency, but that's what James is talking about this morning. That's what the theme that I hear this morning is, that we're a city in crisis and that God is calling us to take up arms, spiritual arms, to begin to pray and fast intentionally. So we've divided this into 12 quadrants or 12 tribes, and you probably can't read it from there. It's a little small, but all 12 tribes are represented there. Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Asher, Gad, Simeon, Reuben, Benjamin, Joseph. And what we envision seeing is that each tribe would be adopted by a captain. And we had an opportunity about 3 weeks ago on a Wednesday night to talk about this in detail. Only about 2 minutes on the following Sunday, so if you weren't there Wednesday, you didn't get much of this message. But we're recruiting 12 captains. We have six. We're looking for six more to adopt the six other tribes. We're also looking for prayer partners to join with those captains that would agree that they're going to adopt these areas and together pray as a team strategically. We'll be announcing more details about how we plan to get folks together, but there's a flyer out on the guest services table that you can pick up. It has a little bit more information on it. There's a sign-up sheet if you feel a call on your heart to sign up as a captain to adopt one of these areas. And we're not asking folks to go out and set up a tent and go out in these areas. Right now, we're focusing on prayer. And we're inviting folks to join us in the fast every Wednesday through breakfast and lunch, however the Lord calls you to do that. And if Wednesday isn't your day, that's okay. But that's when the majority of us will. And Sherry and I, over the last few weeks on Wednesdays, we've been taking time to drive the perimeter of this. And we've also been visiting some of the hot spots because I'm getting a report from the police every few days about where there have been incidents in this area here. We're starting to mark them off on the map where those yellow pins are that you see on there. There's a lot more to fill in. There's a lot more activity than what's shown on that map. But we've been taking time as we drive around the perimeter to drive into the interior and to visit some of the places where things have been happening. We've been praying over those things, and we're inviting folks to do the same thing. So if you're a captain, you might be encouraged, you might be inspired to maybe after a service on Sunday morning to just drive the perimeter of that area that you've decided to adopt. You know, we're not asking you to go knock on doors or hang out flyers, but just pray. And if you're concerned about driving through the city, you know, if you're somebody that's just not comfortable, if this is a stretch, just coming here on Sunday morning and to drive the streets is really seems kind of overwhelming, that's the wonderful thing about this thing behind me. This is an interactive map. You can open this map, and I'll send it to you, but you can open this map on Google Earth, and you can do a virtual walk through your neighborhood. You can identify streets and start to look for churches, look for daycare centers, look for other businesses, look for schools, and just begin to pray and ask for a visitation. Pray for the city. Pray for our leaders in the city. Pray for our law enforcement folks. And just see what God puts on your heart. And I'm believing that as we do that, that it won't just be an empty engagement, but it'll be life-changing. It'll be an earthquake kind of experience for the city. The city is desperately in need of revival. And they've about spent everything they can trying to fix it, and they can't fix it. So it's on us to rise up and to take hold. So I just encourage you, just the short underlined part is if you feel a burden to take on one of these six areas that are left that have not yet been claimed, stop out at the desk out there. There's just a clipboard with a sign-up sheet. You can put your name and email address on that, and we'll send information to you. If that seems overwhelming and you'd just like to join somebody that's a captain for one of these areas, the folks that are already captains, their email addresses are out there. Just jot down their email address, drop them an email, and just say, hey, I'd like to join with you. And we'll keep this out front. We'll keep letting folks know about what we're doing and provide updates and find ways for captains to get together, maybe through some kind of a Zoom meeting or something like that periodically, maybe once a month. But really encouraging prayer teams to get together, you know, a captain with two or three people that would meet on some kind of regular basis, maybe even just for a few minutes after church on a Sunday. Just say, let's go down the hall, let's just pray. This is our area. This is the place that we're going to take responsibility for. So just from Joshua 1:3, the verse that as I looked at this and as we just began praying about this whole concept is that every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I said to Moses. So, one thing I didn't mention, and if you pick up this flyer, you'll find information on it. There are a couple of videos that were kind of the inspiration for this, talking about transformation. And I'm not going to show you one of those today. It'll take too much time. But I encourage you, there's a short 8-minute video. There's a 25-minute video on there talking about remarkable transformation of communities around the world. They're just in very desperate places. But when the church came together, when they prayed, when they united, when they fasted, that God did some extraordinary, extraordinary things. Powerful, powerful testimonies. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you so, so much. Well, it's just so encouraging when you read what happened with the jailer, and you know that behind what happened in the supernatural realm with the earthquake, that it all began with worship and prayer. That's where it all began. And that's where we are beginning, and we're expecting and anticipating and hoping for God to move in the crisis situations within our city, within our community, as Brian has mentioned them. I don't need to mention them again. And we know that God knows how to set people free. We're confident that God loves to set people free, as he did Paul and Silas and the jailer. Well, I'm going to continue on the jailer next week. There's so much more I have to share. Bring your notes back. If you don't bring them back, I'll have another copy for you to fill out. And don't worry about it. But it's been a wonderful morning to be with you. And we'll talk about the jailer next week as what God was doing in his life and how the incidents that occurred in his life can lead us to help somebody who needs to experience the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just bow our heads and end our time of our service. Father, what a wonderful time we've had with a time of worship, hearing about what you're doing here at Joy over the next several weeks. We are anticipating, Father, a breakthrough. We're anticipating victory in the battle that this community is in. We're expecting, Lord, just as we fast and pray, that the foundation, Father, will be shaken. The earthquake will happen in the spirit realm. And Father, people will declare, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And Lord, we pray that you would begin to stir our faith, that we declare you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you for this rich time together, and we're anticipating a continuation of the life of the jailer next week in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We're going to open up the altar for ministry. If you need ministry, please come forward.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.